Why do some call our blessed hope the blasted hope? And why does the topic of the rapture bring about such opposition, scoffing, and mocking when it represents such good news?
How do you know you're living the last days? When you see, not in the world, but when you see in the church, about the only thing you ever get from the pulpit, by and large, is, quote, pleasant things and a bunch of stories made up, you're in the last days.
You know, if somebody asked me what I think the number one proof of the rapture, the pre-trib rapture is, the Bible never says anything or tells us any information about how to prepare for the tribulation of the Antichrist. Wouldn't you think a loving God would have done that if indeed we were going to be here during that time?
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. This hour, Jan and co-host Eric Barger meet with the pastor of Sunrise Baptist Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. Pastor Billy Crone is with us to discuss his latest book, The Rapture, Don't Be Deceived. Their conversation will center on the attack on the pre-tribulation view of the rapture. Let's begin with Jan Markell and Eric Barger.
As Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or died. The believer is always referred to as someone who, having died, appears to be sleeping. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus or died believing in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have fallen asleep or died in Jesus. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ, that is their bodies, will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the word rapture in Latin, harpazo in Greek. Two words in English, caught up, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words.
And welcome to the program. And that was the familiar voice of Pastor Jack Hibbs. No, he's not our guest this hour. I will be playing some sound bites from Pastor Jack, and I'm going to introduce my guest here in just a moment. And you know that we often talk on this program about the topic known as the rapture of the church, the harpazo, and the Bible uses the term caught up, which is one reason that the rapture is separate from the second coming, where Jesus comes down to earth to rule and to reign. And the term for the rapture, harpazo, is used 14 times in the New Testament, and it means sudden snatching to seize or to carry off. And Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that we are to encourage one another with these words or with the concept of the rapture. Well, the position we hold, this ministry, and my radio guest for the hour, Pastor Billy Crone, is that you can only encourage someone as it concerns the rapture if it is a pre-tribulational experience, that the church certainly experiences man's wrath, but would never come under the wrath of God, nor even experience the wrath of the Antichrist. A man who is longing for his appearing is Pastor Billy Crone. We're going to bring him on here in just a second. Eric Barger joins me in studio. And Eric, you've read and viewed some of these products, as have I, and I'm very moved by it.
It's a great book that Billy's put together, and so I know this is going to be a great discussion.
Yeah, he's got a DVD series as well. Pastor Billy Crone, welcome for the first time to Understanding the Times Radio.
Thank you, Jan. It's a pleasure to be on.
And you are pastor of Sunrise Baptist Church, and that is in Las Vegas, correct?
Yes, it is.
Listen, I have gone through the material extensively. As a matter of fact, I've read the book cover to cover. I thank you for what you've done, because this has become a controversial topic, and you have researched it and covered it, I think, better than almost anybody I have read so far. So I think the bottom line question is, when will believers be leaving? How has this product been received?
Well, frankly, it's been very well received, and we're excited about that. And I think we kind of stumbled on, you know, of course, God's sovereignty, but we stumbled on a need that has arisen. And what we've noticed over the last year and a half, 2 years, is this issue on the rapture, people are bringing out the boxing gloves. And it's sad and it's unfortunate because, as you mentioned, it is to encourage one another with the news of the rapture. And for why? Because we're not going into the seven-year tribulation. Now, the seven-year tribulation is an outpouring of God's wrath. The church is not appointed unto that. And it's a horrible time frame. I mean, you got a global war, a global famine. You got one-fourth of the earth being annihilated. You got these massive earthquakes. You got asteroids flying into the earth. You got all kinds of horrible events taking place. And you got the earth being being burned up and demons and flooding the planet. It's just horrid. So the news of knowing for sure that God has not appointed you from that, he's rescued you from that, he saved you from that, you might have some tribulation, small t, on the planet, but you're never going to go into that time frame. That's good news. That's why Paul says comfort or encourage one another with these words. That's why it's also called our blessed hope. Okay. Now, if you're in the seven-year tribulation, and I just gave a little teaser of what the Bible says that time frame is going to be like, that's not good news. The only way that you can fulfill what Paul says to encourage one another or comfort one another is to be in the pre-trib position, that the church is raptured prior to that. If I'm in the seven-year tribulation halfway through or three-quarters of the way through or all the way through, like the mid-trib, pre-rat, or post-trib position state, what's so encouraging about that? This, as Jesus said, is the worst time in the history of mankind. That's not good news. That's not a blessed hope. That's bad news.
And I think that's one reason why particularly even younger people have moved away from this topic rather than moving closer to the topic. And I'm grateful that there are some younger preachers and teachers out there, yourself included, Amir Sarfati and others, even Joel Rosenberg, who are bringing some younger people into the scenario here. Fortunately, not nearly enough, but at least I see a beginning of it, because their attitude, really attitude of people of all ages, has sort of been, come Lord Jesus, but not too soon. In other words, we want to live out our full life, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, and then we'll think about heaven, but not before. And I don't quite get that. What we've got going on this planet right now is not a picnic.
Well, and again, that's what we also delineate is the rapture event is there to comfort and it's there to encourage. And it's something, frankly, we should be excited about. And we delineate this in the book and the DVD set as well, that, listen, what happens when the rapture happens? I mean, we're not even to the timing issue, but what happens when the rapture happens? Hey, we're going to heaven. And with all due respect, the last time I checked, heaven is way better than right now on planet Earth. It's a place where no more tears, no more crying, no more pain. I mean, it's just awesome, eternal bliss, joy. And I was joking, and once you get there, you can't get kicked out. It's forever. And since when is that bad news? Since when is that something you shouldn't look forward to? Yeah. I really think, to dovetail off what you stated, Jan, people have this mentality, well, yeah, the rapture, but not right now. Well, to me, that's a heart issue. Because the rapture also means we're not going to heaven, but the rapture means we're going to see our Lord Jesus, the one who died for us, the one who rescued us from not just the seven-year tribulation, but from hell. He came and he shed his blood on our behalf. He's defeated death, hell, and the grave, and we get to be with him. We're his bride. And this is our wedding day. We get to see him and in a normal, healthy relationship. Then that's something you should long for.
Look, if you're concerned that you're not going to get everything that you want out of this life on Earth, 1 second after the rapture, you won't care. You won't be thinking about anything you wanted to do here. Plus, it has nothing to do with you and everything to do with God's sovereignty.
Billy, you talk a lot about the promises to the church in your book and your DVD. And let me just clarify, you've got a book and you've got a DVD set.
Yeah, we actually have the book, the companion book. We also have the DVD set, which is 7 DVDs, but it contains 17 hours.
Okay, 17 hours. Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are some obvious things, and that is the church is missing after Revelation 3 and in Matthew 24. And I think the other issue, Billy Crone, and that's who I'm talking to for the entire hour, because of his new products that he has out on the rapture, which this ministry considers to be such an important and neglected issue in the church, is the issue of imminency, and that is to be ready at all times. And again, only the pre-trib rapture would fit into the imminency role. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, you take a look, it's a common sense thing. Pre-trib position obviously is before the seven-year tribulation begins. Well, once the seven-year tribulation begins, the Bible is very replete systematically with the events that begin to transpire, right? It starts off with the Revelation chapter 6 with the sealed judgments and moves on forward, and that's the first half. Then you get into the trumpet judgments, and then towards the end with the bowl judgments and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And if you are if you say that the church or a Christian is in the seven-year tribulation, then now the second coming of Jesus becomes a calculatable event, right? Because then you say, okay, if you have mid-trib, then you know that you got to go through the seals, and you know in what order they come. But the pre-trib position is the only one that says, no, the church is nowhere in the seven-year tribulation, so it's an unknown event, it's not calculable, and you need to be ready at any and every time. And that's exactly what the Scripture says. We are to long for his appearing. We are to be ready, always be active, serving. And again, you know, you look at the importance of the rapture and the basis of it and the purpose. Why is Paul even mentioning this in the one instance to the Thessalonians? And to, again, encourage them, but also encourage them to, hey, always be active. Don't get lazy. And always be serving Jesus, you know, because the reality is he can come at any time. And what do you want him finding you doing? Goofing off? Being worldly? Full of sin? Beating each other up? You know, because that's the reality with the imminency of the rapture. Some people say it creates laziness. I don't know where you get that from. We're trying as hard as we can to get the truth out.
Yeah, and Billy, it fits in so well with evangelism, and it spurs people on to evangelism. And let's just consider for a minute who the tribulation really is for. First of all, it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. The church is not Jacob, folks. Israel is Jacob, the time of Jacob's trouble. And that's who the tribulation is for, as well as the pagans of the world who have rejected Jesus Christ. This is not the time of the church's trouble. You know, you and I were talking, and Eric, the three of us were talking off air about those who have come against this pre-tribulational view of the rapture, and they kind of are getting a little bit more vocal now. As a matter of fact, I had to replay on Christmas weekend, replayed my interview with Terry James over from Rapture Ready, and one of the books he's just written, and he too is coming under tremendous, I'm going to use the word persecution, and I don't think that's a stretch of that word, for believing in the things we do. And Pastor Crone, you were talking about that yourself. You've been even called an unbeliever, leading people astray, unsaved, on and on. The insults never stop.
Yeah, and I think it's unfortunate. Again, we don't know the day nor the hour, but what we do know is the rapture is closer than it's ever been, and it's an exciting event. It's an encouraging event, and yet here comes these folks that basically want to keep a lid on it and are discouraging people from the pre-trib position, which is, again, the only one that maintains imminency. Mm-hmm. And again, it used to be in the church that a mark of maturity is to agreeably disagree on a secondary issue, yet not divide. And if anything, these people, they feign maturity, with all due respect, but really they're demonstrating their immaturity in handling even the discussion of these issues, because you can't even discuss it anymore. It's not even a dialogue. It's just a monologue. Yeah. It's basically, be quiet, and then I'm going to tell you what it really is.
Yeah, Billy, in some cases it's be quiet and I'm going to insult you as much as I can. I am going to name a name here, and I'm going to try to stay away from naming some names, but in this case, because we got another element here, and that's preterism, which to me is stretches credulity. I'm sorry. Preterism says that, and I wish I could name all the preterist teachers. I can't. I air on radio stations where they would be very upset if I named people who are teaching this. It is so inerrant. But I'm going to name Gary DeMar, because he's attacking me all the time. And I have a very successful conference, Understanding the Times conference, once a year. And you can bet that Gary DeMar is going to come out and call it a hysteria conference. In headlines, he writes, Jan Markell's End Time Hysteria Conference. And he says, once again, the usual suspects are gathering at a church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota in October this year. Eager and naive audience that all the signs are aligned for an inevitable end time event. Anybody familiar with the history of Bible prophecy knows all of this has been done before. In fact, there is nearly 2,000 year history of predicting some type of prophetic event based on wars, rumors of wars, etc. Then he names people like Hal Lindsey, Chuck Smith, most popular prophecy authors, have sold millions of prophecy books. Again, I think there's an element of jealousy in here. I suspect that the majority of attendees who will sit under the Mark Hitchcocks and Jan Markell's and Ron Rhodes and Joel Rosenberg's and Urban Lutzer's and others speak at her conference will not realize only the names, events, and dates have changed. They will be hearing a regurgitated prophetic speculation in the name of the Bible. These date-setting foibles, and Billy and Eric, none of us have set dates, nor would we ever. These date-setting foibles have not stopped the prophecy pundits or the thousands that will flock to hear these discredited speakers. Okay, I didn't know Mark Hitchcock and Ron Rhodes and Joel Rosenberg were discredited, but you see, in the eyes of these folks, they come across with huge hostility. And then he says, a few weeks ago, I wrote an article with the title, Another Prophetic Nonsense Conference. It was about the upcoming conference sponsored by Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries. I pointed out that these types of conferences have been going on for a long time and have done little to help Christians really understand Bible prophecy. Oh, really? Would you kindly ask my thousands and thousands of attendees? And Eric and Billy, the point is here, this has been an opportunity for remnant believers to encourage one another, Hebrews 10, at a time when headlines are so dark and discouraging. Without the privilege of looking up, we would We get bogged down in the despair of looking around. Talk about robbing us of our blessed hope and plunging us into hopelessness, and we're hearing a lot about hopelessness today. Those of us who believe as we do, we have wonderful hope.
I really think it's sad, and I think as long as they want to continue to say that preaching Bible prophecy is some form of, you know, driving up hysteria, or, you know, another phrase that people use is, you know, it's doom and gloom and there's better things we need to be doing with our time. I always like to joke, Jan, tongue in cheek, excuse me, what Bible are you reading? Because Revelation chapter 1 clearly says that, specifically Revelation, that blessed, not tortured, not hysteria, not doom and gloom, blessed are those who read, who hear, and who take to heart the words that are written in this prophecy. The Bible says that when you study Bible prophecy, which include issues like the rapture, that it's a blessing. It's not a burden. And yet the irony is, I think some of these people don't realize when they refuse to teach on these things and or discourage others from teaching on them, whatever their rationale is, if it's their position of preterism, or just people say, no, that's doom and gloom, I'm not going to touch it with a 10-foot pole. The irony is, they're actually fulfilling Bible prophecy.
Yeah, they are. That's absolutely correct.
Could I delineate on one passage that specifically talks about that?
Yeah.
Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, that's what Paul says. He says that a time's going to come, contact the last days, when people aren't going to put up a sound doctrine. Mm-hmm. They're going to, instead, to suit their own desires, they're going to gather teachers who will tickle their ears or itch their ears. They're going to turn away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So the Bible says that, how do you know we're not day setters, but how do you know it's getting close that you're in the last days? Right, is when you're going to see people in the church not wanting to deal with sound doctrine. Instead, here's what they're going to do, because you got to keep the show going, right? They're going to gather around themselves teachers to tickle their ears, turn aside to myths. Itching there in the Greek is kenetho, and it means to desire only that which is pleasant. Myths is muthos, which literally means stories made up. So stir all that together. How do you know you're living the last days? When you see, not in the world, but when you see in the church about the only thing you ever get from the pulpit, by and large, is, quote, pleasant things and a bunch of stories made up, you're in the last days. And what described today to you is about 90% of the church.
Certainly today, no doubt about that. You know, if somebody asked me, Billy, what I think the number one proof of the rapture, the pre-trib rapture is, the Bible never says anything or tells us any information about how to prepare for the tribulation of the Antichrist. Wouldn't you think a loving God would have done that if indeed we were going to be here during that time?
It's a good point, Eric. Billy, what I want to do when we get back is I want to talk about some, and you call it red herring objections.
Yeah.
There are lots of them that people have come up with, including secret rapture. I don't even know what that is, to be honest. I don't know anybody who believes in it or even knows what it is. We'll talk a little bit about John Darby and Margaret MacDonald, that foolish fallacy that's been out there and that's been out there forever. But some of these are red herring objections, and we're going to cover those when we get back. And I'm going to play a clip from a film that's been put out about, well, it denounces what the three of us believe, and it does so in a very embarrassing way, and that's all I can say. It's tragic, tragic, four-hour piece of, well, I'm going to stop there because I don't want to be insulting, but play a clip from it, and you can hear the sneering in the voice, and I hope that we are not reflecting that kind of a voice as we present our position here for this entire hour. I'm back in just a minute or two. Don't go away. Don't touch your dial.
God wants us to be aware and engaged, and every weekend we're helping you to do both. We are Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell.
This is Understanding the Times Radio, today featuring Jan and Eric's special guest, author and pastor Billy Crone. You can order a recording of today's conversation just by phoning 763-559-4444. We want to express our sincere gratitude to our listeners for their great support of this ministry. Week after week, your continued prayer and financial gifts this past year helped to keep this broadcast delivering a timely message across America. You've made Understanding the Times one of the most listened to weekend programs in the USA. Again, to all of you, we just want to say thanks. You can contact us at olivetreeviews.org, or when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. In just a moment, we'll return with more from Pastor Billy Crone right after this. Our recent Understanding the Times conference brought great clarification to the many issues of the day we are watching in daily headlines. They will only make sense when interpreted from the Bible. Our times are perilous. The church is caving to apostasy. America cannot be found in biblical prophecy. Europe is preparing for the Antichrist. But the good news is that Jesus Christ will return for his bride very soon. Our speakers included Amir Sarfati.
The Antichrist has to be a good friend of Israel, has to serve the interests of the people of Israel and the Jewish people, has to be liked by them to the point of even worship by them.
Pastor J.D. Farag.
The clarion call is to know that not only are we living in the last moments of world history as we know it, but we need to know what to do while there's still time.
Dr. Mark Hitchcock.
The enemy is working feverishly today in seminaries, denominations, and churches to pry people away from trust in the inerrant, inspired, living Word of God. And apostasy is an inside job.
Michelle Bachman.
The final judgment over Babel goes hand in hand with the second coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and the dawn of the Messianic time, which will be centered on Zion.
Why not order complete sets of CDs and DVDs today? 5 messages are offered on DVD for just $35 plus $5 shipping in the U.S. 5 messages are offered on CD for $30 plus $5 shipping in the U.S. DVDs contain valuable speaker PowerPoint. Order online at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, or call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. You can also write to us at Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311.
If you look around at the world and what's happening right now, there's a lot of hopeless people. There's a lot of people scared. There's a lot of terrorism. It's increasing. There's violence. It's increasing. There's insanity. We need to be reminded of what is always in front of us, and that is the hope of God. The greatest hope for the believer today. It's something that is well recorded in Scripture, and it's something that is rarely talked about. And I'm talking about the rapture and the hope of the rapture.
There was a time in this nation when the pre-tribulation view of the rapture of the church was as common as the Bible. But in recent years, it's come under fire by many in the church. Today's guest, pastor and author Billy Crone of Las Vegas, Nevada, recently published a new book, The Rapture. Don't be deceived. Let's return to Jan and Eric with Billy Crone.
Is the rapture near? Yes, the whole doctrine of imminency. This is awesome, the wonderful hope for us. It's the only doctrine in the Bible that demands imminency, meaning it could happen any second without warning. Friends, listen, there's over 100 Bible verses that must be fulfilled before Jesus can come back in the second coming. When his foot steps onto the mount in Jerusalem, there are no verses that are necessary before the rapture, not a one. When Christ comes in the atmosphere, there's no warnings, there's no prerequisites. The second coming, totally different. This is encouraging. It's near, so there won't be any warning. That's the first thing we realize, none whatsoever, unlike the second coming. There'll be no warnings.
And welcome back, and you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell, and I have on the line from Las Vegas a Pastor Billy Crone, and I am so taken with some of his products that are rather new, and one is the book called The Rapture, Don't Be Deceived, and then he has a DVD set that can go with it. Best place to get a hold of it would be his website, getalifemedia.com. That's how you have to get a hold of it, folks. We're not giving out phone numbers right now, so getalifemedia.com is the best place to find these products. I recommend them so highly, particularly if you have skeptics in your world that either don't want to hear this or are believing, I'm going to call it a lie, and some of the lies. I'm going to play a clip. I want to play it right now because I'm not quite through talking about the aberrations when it comes to thoughts and teachings on the pre-trib rapture. Now, this is a clip from a 4-hour film made about a year and a half ago.
To say that the world is in a state of shock this morning would be to understate the situation. Suddenly and without warning, literally thousands, perhaps millions of people just disappeared.
What if the end of the world really isn't as so many have portrayed it? What if the church is not raptured to heaven before the Great Tribulation, as many are teaching?
People from all over this planet simply vanished.
What if the church has been left ill-prepared to face the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast? What if Tim LaHaye's claim that if the pre-tribulation rapture is false, then the blessed hope will become the blasted hope actually comes true for millions of pre-tribulationists? What if millions who have been led astray by the pre-trib teaching become part of the great falling away that Jesus warned would take place at that time? How is it that the pre-tribulation rapture teaching, which states that Jesus will take the church to heaven before the tribulation, is so popular, even though its leading advocates admit there is not one single verse of Scripture that actually teaches this new doctrine?
It is popular because it is the truth, and it's what the Bible teaches, and it's the blessed hope, not the blasted hope. Billy, your thoughts on this that you just heard?
That there's that little bait and switch there, not one single verse.
Yeah.
I got specific messages basically on that accusation. There's not one single verse. It's called a red herring argument. You know, amongst other red herring arguments, there's people who, you know, disagree with the rapture, don't even believe in the rapture, because they say, well, I don't believe in the rapture because the word rapture doesn't appear in the Bible. Really? First of all, it's from the Greek word harpazo, which was translated later in the Latin Vulgate into, you know, raptura, which eventually came the English word rapture. What are you talking about? But oh no, it's not in the Bible, rapture. And it's like, well, first of all, if that's your logic, let's put that to the test with all due respect. Did you know that the word Trinity is not found in the Bible? Do we reject the Trinity? The word millennium is not found in the Bible, technically. So, I mean, the teaching is in the Greek word there for 1,000 years, and do we reject that? And oh, here's one. I'd like to point this out. Did you know the word Bible is not in the Bible? So do we reject the whole Bible? So that's kind of crazy. But this teaser here, this is one of the popular ones they're throwing out there today, that there's not one single verse. And with all due respect, again, I like to say, okay, where do you want to start? You want to start Old Testament, New Testament? I'll let you pick, right? To me, the ones, I don't know how you can get around this specifically, is Revelation chapter 3, verse 10.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
And that is, talk about nailing it to the wall. It's, you know, that Jesus speaking, of course, to the church of Philadelphia, and he says, you know, since they've endured his command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. Okay? And so he's promising these faithful Christians in the immediate context, Philadelphia, but it's applicable to us today because we're Christians too, right? And he says that, hey, you're defending me, you're standing up for me, you're dealing with some general, you know, tribulation and problems. But I tell you what, here's my great promise to you. I'm going to keep you, I'm going to spare you from this specific hour of trial that's going to come to the whole planet. Now, if that's not speaking of the rapture and the, being kept from the hour of trial, the seven-year tribulation, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
And of course, we break this down in great detail. You know, an hour of trial, it doesn't mean literally 1 hour. It literally means a season, a time of testing. Again, the seven-year tribulation. Plus, we know this is not some localized event, okay? The Philadelphia church was being promised to be expunged from, like an earthquake. It's clearly, the context is this is a global event that tests those who live on the earth. This is a global event. It's not some local event. And again, the word to me that really nails it down is he uses the word to be kept from. He's dealing with two groups of people, the church, who's kept from, and those who are still on the earth. Okay, two different groups of people. And the church, he says, kept from, it's really awesome. It's the Greek word tereo ek. And talk about specific in the Bible. Tereo ek means you're not on the planet at all.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jesus' words I'm just working with. He's very specific with this promise. You will not be on the earth when this trial, the seven-year tribulation, comes. It's a fantastic promise, okay? And let me give you some analogies as to what tereo ek really means from Jesus. One of the analogies is like World War II, okay? Obviously, that was a trial. That was a season, right, a period that we went through in the whole world, okay, during World War II. And so if somebody said to you, I'm going to keep you from the, not just World War II, because that means you could be secluded somewhere, but I'm going to keep you from the time of World War II. In order for that to happen, you could not be on planet Earth during the entire period from 1941 to 45. To be exempt from the time is to be absent from the time that the event takes place. That's what Jesus is talking about here. A couple more. To be kept out of, this is the word there, I'll keep you out of this trial, Revelation 3:10. To be kept out of jail means that the person will not be behind bars. They're not going there, period. To be kept out of the swimming pool means that the person is exempt from getting wet. To be kept out of the army means you're not in the army at all. You're not serving, you're not doing nothing, you didn't get to go in, period. If a basketball player was kept out of the entire ball game, guess what? You didn't get to play at all. You saw zero action. You were not on the court, period. If a person put a sign on his property that says, keep out, okay, they don't want you on their property at all. Your presence will not be there, period. That's what Jesus used when he says to the church, I will keep you out of this hour of trial, the seven-year tribulation, to test those, not the church, who are still on the earth. It is one of the most clearest examples of the pre-trib rapture position, and for people to make this statement that there's not one single verse, again, with all due respect, what Bible are you reading?
Well, again, let's look at some other red herring objections, because there are lots of them, and let's move to this Margaret MacDonald, John Darby, and what we believe is a new teaching. Oh, my goodness, the early church greeted each other with Maranatha, because they were hoping it would be happening back then, but some say it's a new teaching, perhaps as recent as 1830. John Darby, Margaret MacDonald. Well, then what do we do with the pre-wrath version, which came along in the 1990s, for Pete's sake? That's far newer than anything in the 1830s. John Darby did not receive it from Margaret MacDonald, nor did he start it. Besides that, Margaret MacDonald was a false teacher who believed the church was already in the tribulation. MacDonald saw the church being purged by the Antichrist. I don't know how this all came about, Billy Crone, and that's who I'm talking to for the entire hour. I'll say more about his products here as we move along. But this whole red herring, I think it's the biggest one out there, Billy, other than the one we've already talked about. It's supposedly not in the Bible. This is Margaret MacDonald, John Darby. Talk to us about it, because it is complete and utter nonsense.
Yeah, it is. And frankly, with all due respect, we couldn't wait to expose this one, because this one, after we begin to investigate the facts, and that's what we're supposed to do as Christians, you know, be Bereans. My synopsis that I share in the book and the videos is, okay, with all due respect, this is either the worst case of investigation in the history of mankind, those that would say that this is where the pre-trib position came from, or, frankly, you're lying, because this is one of the most easily things to refute, this myth that John Darby got the pre-trib rapture in 1830 from Margaret MacDonald. First of all, we went on location there in Scotland. And we went there on location and shot right next to John Darby's gravesite. So we did our homework as well. We went above and beyond, and we exposed what was really going on during that time frame and in those locales. And you could see it with your own eyes or read it with the book. It's clearly, easily, historically documented that John Darby did not arrive at his understanding of the pre-trib position in 1830, as the accusation goes, the false accusation. It's clearly historically documented that he began to understand that in 1827, when he was holding up and healing up after an accident. In 1827, that's when he began to see a distinction between the church and Israel. It's historically documented. So they're 3 years off base. Okay, number one. Number two, he did know about Margaret MacDonald, because there were some revivals going on in the area, and unfortunately, as goes with some revivals in history, not all of them are legit. And so he knew about her, investigated, and it's on record. Even Wikipedia records this historical fact that what she was doing on record was demonic, and he wanted nothing to do with her.
Demonic.
And that's easily to demonstrate. Number three, I'm going, how do you guys keep doing this? And in fact, how do you produce, and this is why it's being popularized, how do you produce a whole documentary on this red herring argument when this comes into play? Number three, you can get an actual copy of her so-called utterance. And when you get the utterance, in fact, we got it. In fact, when we were in Scotland, for effect, we got a girl there with a Scottish tongue, and she read it, and you could see it with your own eyes and the language. But when you read her utterance, and it's not even speaking of pre-trib. It's post-trib,
that's right.
With a kind of a partial rapture feel. And it's like, what? And this is your whole basis that you keep throwing out there, hoping it's going to stick? It reminds me of the old axiom. You repeat a lie loud enough, long enough, often enough, people will believe it. And so it is with this John Darby, Mark MacDonald connection. For the life of me, I can't believe that this keeps getting recycled. And then, even after exposing this, if people still want to promote that, I'm sorry. You're being dishonest.
I agree with you, Billy. And this seems to be the primary argument that people are throwing back at us, is this Margaret MacDonald and John Darby. It's just been tragic. I've watched it over the years, and I think it's been fairly effective, even though it's all a lie.
I was just thinking that every position, except the pre-trib position, goes against the patterns of God, too. It goes against God's rescue of the Israelites in the Red Sea coming out of Egypt. It goes against taking Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the two spies, and on and on. We have have so many instances of his rescue, and I can't imagine how people could think that it would be post-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, all those things. When you think about Paul's admonition for us to watch for the blessed hope, why would we watch for the blessed hope when we're in the middle of the tribulation period with 100-pound hailstones, et cetera, coming down on us?
Again, I want to call your attention, folks, to the products that we're referring to. We're not carrying them, so don't call here for the products. The book is The Rapture. Don't be deceived. And there is, you can get a DVD set that goes along with it. You don't have to get both, but you can if you'd like. Fascinating products. Find them at getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com. That's Pastor Billy Crone. People have been writing me about him, and I've watched his teachings online. They're fascinating, and you can find them at getalifemedia.com. But the book I particularly, because I've read it cover to cover here, and it answers some of the questions that are, the issues that are being thrown at you. If you're pre-trib, you're being challenged on that. You're being challenged on it, sometimes in a not very nice way. I had a leading prophecy teacher tell me in 2005, it was Hal Lindsey, said to me privately, he said, Jan, those who are believing the aberrant views of the rapture timing are going to disagree, not in a very agreeable manner. And Billy, you and I were talking here a few minutes ago, this is not a salvation issue, but nonetheless, why are we beating each other up over this particular topic when it is peripheral to you and I? It's extremely important. It still remains peripheral. And yet we have a four-hour film, which is a 4 hours of nonsense, that is presented in the most ungraceful manner.
Yeah, well, and then they go on to even make the claim that, you know, the pre-trib rapture is a recent teaching. Well, first of all, I don't believe in the pre-trib rapture because of John Darby. I don't say John Darby's a bad guy. I certainly don't listen to their premise that he got it from Martin McDonald. That's not true. I believe in the pre-trib rapture because of what the Bible teaches, yeah. Number one. However, you can even, again, take, you know, the red herring argument. So you're going to say it all started with John Darby. Right? Even if you want to erase Margaret McDonald connection and all that stuff, which you should because it's not true, he wasn't the first one to come up with it. First of all, again, it's in the Bible, but in the book, we got eight pages of historical documentation mm-hmm. that shows, starting from the early church forward, right, even as far back as first century of the church, like even with the Epistle of Clement that was written about 96 A.D., which is about the same time that John wrote the book of Revelation, forward 8 pages of historical documentation of Christians, the church, church writers, church historians, church teachers that promote a pre-trib, pre-mill thought. So that's another red herring argument that it's something new that only appeared in 1830. And Jen, you brought up a fantastic point about, well, wait a second. If you're going to reject this pre-trib position because you think it recently started in 1830, which is not true, well, man, if you're going to be consistent, you better reject the pre-wrath position, you know, which formally came out around 1990 when it was officially formalized and began to be put into print. That's 1990. That's a whole lot sooner than 1830, so how come you don't reject that? In fact, back to the documentary, we went ahead and investigated with the pre-wrath. Of course, we investigated all of them. Basically, the first half is a premise of taking a look at the biblical evidence for the rapture period, but then in the timing issue with the pre-trib and why the Bible lends towards that, and then we begin to deal with all the accusations against that aspect as well, and then we flipped it around. It's like, okay, so basically for the first half, you've been putting us under the microscope. Let's take a look at your position. And so then we deal in great detail with the post-trib and pre-wrath and mid-trib and this partial rapture issue. And when it came to the pre-wrath issue, and we began to take a look at that position, Robert Van Camp, 1990s when that began to get popularized, you're thinking, well, it must have got popular because it was such an incredible truth that it just convinced so many people. No, this guy was a multi-millionaire.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. what he did to promulgate this, it wasn't just because people, again, were just so convinced. No, he literally used his millions of dollars and he shipped copies of the books all over to pastors all over to begin to disperse that. In fact, in the documentary, we went in England to one of the castles that he owned. They let us film inside and do all kinds of stuff to show you the opulence of this guy's wealth. And he had a lot of money, and he used that to influence his position. But wealth cannot buy you truth. And we examined it, and when you take a look at it, man, this is a problem. And you look at the facts with the pre-wrath position, our investigation uncovered that he had a group of pre-trib friends and he had a group of post-trib friends. And his goal when he approached the scripture was he wanted to see how he can reconcile the two. Well, first of all, that's not how you approach the scripture. The scripture, you're supposed to allow it to speak for yourself. And that's why when you take a look at his position, it is, with all due respect, one of the most confusing mishmash. In fact, it was the only one that I had to basically break out a chart to visually explain it to people what this position really teaches. And then they want to accuse us of aberrant teaching. It's like, well, first of all, not only with your time frame when the Great Tribulation was supposed to be the second half, you got it squeezed into a portion of the second half, and what gives you the right with that? And then you've got multiple second comings of Jesus. Like, what? But he went into the Scripture, not allowing the Scripture to speak for itself. If you do that, you end up with pre-trib. He went into it with a false motive.
Folks, we have been discussing for the hour, and we'll wrap it up in our next segment. Basically, when will the believing be leaving? When will the church be leaving? And those participating in this discussion this hour, including Eric Barger, myself, and Pastor Billy Crone, who's pastor of Sunrise Baptist Church in Las Vegas, who has tremendous new products out about this, believe that we believe in the traditional pre-tribulation rapture. We believe it is so clear in Scripture, it's really not a discussion. However, it's not only turned beyond discussion, it's turned into a raging debate and even an argument by some. And we're going to continue and conclude this in just a minute or two. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Understanding the Times Radio stays in touch with you through our website. Around the clock at olivetreeviews.org, we keep you up to date with all kinds of resources. Again, at olivetreeviews.org, stay informed about the end times through the lens of Scripture. Our media team is once again committed to bringing you the best commentators to understand our times. You can trust what you hear on this program. Everything we do is done with a biblical worldview in mind. Thanks for making Understanding the Times one of the most listened to weekend programs in America. We are reachable by mail at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, or dial 763-559-4444. This listener-supported broadcast greatly appreciates your prayers and financial gifts. In just a moment, Jen and Eric will return with pastor and author Billy Crone.
Thanks for standing with this radio outreach, both prayerfully and financially, for 17 years. I have always tried to give you the good news amidst the troubling headlines that we read daily. The Bible says that without hope, the people perish. Well, there is hope today, but that is rooted in the message of the Bible. The King is coming. If you are ready to meet him, then be encouraged. But would you keep this message on air in our over 800 radio markets with a year-end gift online at olivetreeviews.org, or call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. You can drop us a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. We want to equip you for today and tomorrow. We want to provide news, views, and truths, but more than that, make sure you are ready to meet the King.
If you ever miss our radio program, catch us on the web at olivetreeviews.org.
You need to stick to the Scripture. You're dealing with two distinct events. The rapture is not the same thing as the second coming. The rapture happens before the seven-year tribulation. The second coming is the event that happens at the end. Rapture, Christ comes in the air. The second coming, he comes to the earth. In the rapture, he comes for his saints. In the second coming, he comes with his saints. In the rapture, the believers are taken away. In the second coming, unbelievers are taken away. And on it goes. We get at least 20 of them differences between the rapture and second comings.
Our final segment of Understanding the Times continues. Once again, Jen Markell.
Welcome back. Remember, I do try to stay in touch with you. I offer a number of newsletters, a print newsletter. Sign up online or give us a call, an e-newsletter. Sign up at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. If you send in a gift, would you always tell us what radio station you're listening to so that we can credit your gift properly? You can get a CD of any program, including this one. You have to call us on that. And if you'd like to become a CD subscriber, and we have hundreds and hundreds of CD subscribers, because you get get a CD of every program we do. You can hand them out to friends who have questions about whatever the topic that we're discussing is all about. Give us a call if you'd like. It's only $15 a month to become a CD subscriber and get those twice a month mailed to you. The program is always posted to my website, Olive Tree Views, views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org. Every Saturday morning it's posted to my website. You can listen there. 5 years of programming, no cost. Just please take advantage of the work that we've been doing. I've been spending the hour with Pastor Billy Crone from Sunrise Baptist Church in Las Vegas because I'm so taken with his, particularly the book, The Rapture, Don't Be Deceived. And that doesn't mean that those who believe in the rapture are deceived. There are a lot of misinterpretations about the rapture. There's a lot of theologies that are improper about the rapture. And we're trying to warn that we want you to believe the truth. The pre-tribulation rapture is so clear in the Bible. And I know I'm going to get hammered with emails, Eric and Billy, because others see the other theologies we've talked about, including preterism, which is all prophecy happened in 70 AD. None of it is future except maybe the return of the Lord. And yet all three of us are going to get hammered for believing in the truth. Billy, just for a minute, and I mean a minute, the secret rapture. This is, again, total nonsense. What is the secret rapture? It doesn't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't exist, and again, that's why it's lumped into, again, the category we deal with a bunch of them, the red herring objections to the pre-trib position. And for me, the life of me, it's just really, what are you talking about, the secret event? I think it might be a little bit of bait and switch, like, ooh, they're doing something nefarious, or hiding something from you, or because you look at the facts, secret, what do you mean secret? If anything, we're working our tails off, including this new resource we're getting out there on the rapture. We're doing just the opposite. We're not secret. We're trying to get as many people informed on it as we can. What are you talking about? If you're talking in reference to your confusion, which unfortunately a lot of people do, they confuse the rapture event with the second coming, then that needs to be clarified, and we do that in great detail. You know, the rapture, Christ comes in the air, the second coming, he comes to the earth. In the rapture, he comes for his saints. In the second coming, he comes with his saints. In the rapture, the believers are taken away. In the second coming, unbelievers are taken away. And on it goes. We get at least 20 of them differences between the rapture and second coming. So if that's what you're talking about, I'm sorry, you're wrong. You need to stick to the scripture. You're dealing with two distinct events. The rapture is not the same thing as the second coming. The rapture happens before the seven-year tribulation. The second coming is the event that happens at the end.
Eric, you wanted to clarify something as well.
Well, I think what Billy just struck upon right there is one of the most important points, is there's so much confusion about the entire topic of eschatology, and people confuse the rapture and the second coming all the time. What Billy does in the book, and brother, I really appreciate this, you do a great job of laying out very concisely the chronology of the tribulation period and what takes place at each one of the vials and bowls and during the judgments. Appreciate that very much, and I think that'll help people an awful lot. This is a topic that I think is driven by ignorance and confusion much of the time, and sometimes it's just about personality. If you feel persuaded by a particular speaker, it didn't matter if it matches what the scripture said. It just matters that you thought he did a good job in presenting his point, and some people then begin to follow along because of that. So let's get back and get our Bibles open. That's the key, and that's what we've been trying to emphasize the whole hour here.
Thank you, Eric, on that. But address one more issue here, and that is kind of goes back to the red herring issues. The church is guaranteed tribulation, you bet, and the church is suffering all around the world. We need to clarify that's man's wrath. That is not God's wrath. And you outlined in the first segment, Billy, what the tribulation is going to be like. We don't have to repeat that. It's shocking and horrible beyond words, that goes far beyond what man can even conceive of by way of tribulation.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why the Blessed Hope is called just that. You're not going to be in the seven-year tribulation because it's not regular tribulation. Regular tribulation is the ellipsis, which we are promised. We're going to be persecuted. We're going to be hated, Jesus talks about, and you're going to go through hard times. Even in the promise of the pre-trib rapture in Revelation 3:10, the Philadelphian church was going through some hard times standing for Jesus. We're promised that. But the seven-year tribulation is an outpouring of God's wrath. It's a total different word. It's the Greek word orge, which means anger, violent emotion, indignation. And the scripture, as you mentioned, Eric, that's what you guys stick with. The Bible clearly says that the church is not appointed unto God's wrath. Romans 5, that Christ died for us, that we're saved from God's wrath. Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath, and that we are to encourage one another with these words. We are not appointed unto this time of God's wrath. It's very clear in the scripture. And again, that's why it's encouraging. Yeah, you're going to go through hard times. Welcome to the club. Okay, but you will never be put under that absolutely horrific time frame that Jesus said is the worst time in the history of mankind. That's a blessed hope.
Exactly. Billy Crone, and that's who I've been speaking to for the hour. And by the way, find the products we're talking about. Again, the book is The Rapture, Don't Be Deceived, at getalifemedia.com, getalifemedia.com. That's where you have to get it, folks. So you need to access it at getalifemedia.com. You can learn lots more about Pastor Crone at that same address. And, you know, there are some illustrations, sort of rapture-type illustrations in the Bible. We've got Noah, we've got Lot, we've got Enoch. God saved them from the destruction of at least Noah and Lot. He spared them from a lot of destruction. Noah, the destruction of the world. I've always believed that Noah and the ark are a type of the rapture. Would I be right there?
Well, I think so, too. And some people say, well, no, that's an example of God preserving. Well, first of all, you look at the people in the seven-year tribulation. They're not being preserved. Hello. And certainly it's not speaking of the church. These people are being slaughtered. But Noah, if you want to say he's being preserved for that time, then, we mentioned, well, then God should have said, build a submarine and be submerged under the water. No. Noah and his family and the animals in the ark, they're above it all, waiting for it to subside. Right? And that's what we see. And I agree with you. I think that's also a picture.
I want to go back just for a moment because, I mean, God is going to be dealing with Israel at a specific time, and that's known as the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. I referenced this earlier in the program. I think this is such a huge distinction. We have the church age, which I think is coming to an end, where he has been dealing with the church, and he sort of has set Israel aside for the time being. That's only temporary. He's
right.
Going to be dealing with Israel. He's going to redeem Israel. Read Romans 9, 10, and 11. Once the church is removed, God focuses on Israel almost exclusively, and that's during that tribulation period, and there that's when we read about the temple coming back into prominence and two witnesses, the 144,000. These are references to Jews. The tribulation is all about the Jews. It refines Israel. It redeems Israel. It fulfills all his promises that he made to Israel as far back as the time of the patriarchs and King David. And now they are under temporary hardness until the church age is over, and that's coming quickly here, till the time of the fullness of the Gentiles. And that is a huge distinction. And Pastor Billy Crone, I'm not sure what the pre-wrath and post-trib people do with Israel and its separation, as I have just outlined.
Yeah, well, I don't think they really do very well with it at all, because, again, their positions, especially pre-wrath, which is basically about three-quarters of the way through the seven-year tribulation, and post-trib all the way through, really, it's not a surprise to me with these positions as to why we're seeing an unfortunate rise, again, if you can believe it, in replacement theology, that the church has replaced Israel, don't worry about Israel, and that's not true. But again, these positions, in my opinion, with all due respect, lend towards that mentality, because the focus, they say, of the seven-year tribulation is the church.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that's not what you get when you read the Bible. And the whole purpose of why we have a seven-year tribulation in the first place, you don't start in the New Testament. It starts in the book of Daniel, the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 9. Why is it a seven-year tribulation? Why isn't it 94 years, 2 years? It's the final seven of the 77th prophecy.
Thank
given
you.
To the Jewish people. It's all about Israel. And that's at the inception of the seven-year tribulation. And that's, if you're going to do your homework, you have to go back to where it starts. Not Revelation, it's Daniel. It's all about Daniel. As you mentioned, Jen, it's Jacob's trouble, not the church's trouble. This is not Paul's doom or Peter's demise. This is Jacob's trouble. It's about the Jewish people, Jerusalem, the rebuilt Jewish temple.
Yeah.
It's all about them, not the church. In fact, when Daniel wrote the words in that prophecy, the church wasn't even in existence until 570 years later. So how could he be talking about the church when the church wasn't even around? And then Paul stated that the Jewish people in Romans 11 underwent a temporary hardening or blindness until the fullness of the Gentiles, the church, comes in. But he clearly says that the church age was a mystery, and specifically says there in the Bible that the Old Testament writers knew nothing about it. So how could the seven-year tribulation have anything to do with the church when the church is not mentioned, period? It's not about the church. The church is not in existence, and the Old Testament writers, which would include Daniel, had no knowledge of it.
Let me ask you just a practical question, because it may be going on in the minds of some people. If the church and the Holy Spirit leave during this time, they would represent the restrainer, then how is it possible that some are truly getting saved during the tribulation? And those who do get saved during the tribulation, many of them are going to be coming under tremendous persecution. So there again, nobody's escaping the persecution before the tribulation, during the tribulation, etc. But how do they get saved when the restrainer is gone?
Well, basically, God's witness still goes forth, and we see that clearly in the Bible. You have certainly the ministry of the 144,000 male Jewish evangelists, and then we see their outcome right after the Bible talks about that in Revelation. Also, we have the two witnesses, of course, declaring God's righteousness, but also you have what the Bible says is the angel that goes and declares the eternal gospel. And so clearly you have at least three different major sources of witnesses still on planet Earth. And you're right, these people, number one, aren't Christians. Unfortunately, they're the people who procrastinated, they got saved later.
Right.
But they're not being preserved. You look at the Bible, they are being slaughtered like flies. Those are the saints that are being talked about in Revelation. It's not the church age saints, it's the tribulation saints, those who procrastinated and waited too long.
Again, folks, find the products that I highly recommend. GetALifeMedia.com, GetALifeMedia.com. I can't recommend them highly enough, particularly if, number one, you are questioning all of this, or you have folks in your life who are either questioning it, challenging you, or believing the aberrations. And we've talked about a lot of them in this particular hour. Thank you both, gentlemen, for being a part of the discussion this particular hour. I'm going to close reading something that I just love, and you know, you hear this every now and then, closing this program. When the time was right, the sea parted, the walls fell down, the lions went hungry, the sun stood still, the waves were calm, the stone was rolled away, the clouds were parted, the Lord ascended. And when the time is right, the King of Kings will return. God is never early, He is never late, He is always right on time, and His plan for you is good. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
You are the healer, Jesus Redeemer.
Thanks for joining us today for Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. We continue to reach this world by reporting the current events from a biblical perspective. This program comes to you free of charge every weekend, but it costs us thousands of dollars. Would you consider becoming a partner with us as we produce and distribute this program coast to coast each week? Our world is changing, and the church needs to keep informed and be aware of the current events as they relate to the Bible. Jan Markell brings you a compelling program every week that outlines the dangers in our day and the hope that lies within our faith in Jesus Christ. Please consider joining us as a financial partner in this listener-supported ministry. Our mailing address is Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can always give online at olivetreeviews.org or call us at 763-559-4444. Also, you can catch us online 24/7 for daily updates on what is happening in our world as it relates to a biblical worldview. Our online address is olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you this week, and please continue to pray for us. We appreciate your prayer support. Jan returns again next week with another program that helps you understand the times.